All set, Bill.
All right. We send the riffraff downstairs. Isn't it a blessing when you come in on Wednesday night to hear the noise and the activity in here with the kids here? That's a blessing. We appreciate that. Got a fellow sitting in the back. His name is Mac, and he's visiting with us tonight. He's been here some other times before. And working up this way and dropped in tonight. He's a friend of Brother Eric Bruner's. That was good to know that because I was glad to know Eric had friends. Just kidding. They used to work together and he stopped in. He's been here other times before. It's not quite as muddy. He was telling me usually when he comes in, he leaves his boots back at the door. But the weather's not quite so bad today, so he's able to come on in. We're in the book of Judges tonight. As we're going through each book of the Old Testament, we're just kind of giving a summary, a survey. And we come to the book of Judges. The book of Judges is the seventh book of the Old Testament. We're going to talk about it in some depth here in a few minutes, but the seventh book of the Old Testament, and it's very interesting, not coincidental, but interesting, that it is so closely related to the seventh book of the New Testament. The seventh book of the New Testament is 1 Corinthians. Judges and 1 Corinthians both have as their theme wayward believers. Christians out of the will, or believers out of the will of God, children of God out of the will of God. And the book of Judges is just a sad, sad history of the people of Israel who should have been at their climax. They have come out of Egypt. After 400 years of bondage, they've come out of Egypt. Now after 40 years, they have entered the promised land, the end of the book of Joshua. And now they are settled in the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. Everything ought to be great. Everything ought to be fantastic. But that's not the way it works out. The book of Judges is a continuing history of the Jewish people, and that's why it's recorded. Genesis took us back to the very beginning, in the beginning God. The story of the fall in the garden, of the Ark of Noah. I was telling somebody on the way in, I thought I saw somebody building an ark just down the road on the way in tonight. But we read about all those stories, the Tower of Babel. We read the history and then the calling of Abraham to be the father of a great nation, the nation of Israel. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, all those. Then in Exodus, we read about the bondage and the exodus of them coming out. Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy read about the wilderness wanderings and all the things that God said and did with them. Joshua, they get into the promised land. Judges now is just a continuation of this history. And so we're moving forward through time. The book of Joshua covers a 400-year period. 400 years. From the death of Joshua to the birth of Samuel. The death of Joshua is in Judges chapter 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Joshua, it came to pass. After the death of Joshua. Now, that's kind of a previous statement because then we read down in chapter 2 and verse number 8. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old, and they buried him in the border of his inheritance, in Timnath-Heres, in the Mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaish. So it takes us from remember, Joshua picked up with the death of Moses and went forward. Judges starts with the death of Joshua and then goes forward. One thing unusual about the book of Judges is the first book in the Old Testament of who the author of it is not obvious. We know the author of the first five books, the Pentateuch, was Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. We know that Joshua was the author of the book of Joshua, but Judges is not attributed internally to any specific author, so we can't say dogmatically who wrote Judges. But it definitely seems to have been written after the time of the Judges was over. Look at chapter 18 and verse 1, and we'll see the key verses here in a moment. But chapter 18 and verse 1. It says about the days of Judges in chapter 18, verse 1, in those days there was no king in Israel. Chapter 19 and verse 1, I believe it is, starts the same way. And it came to pass in those days when there was no king in Israel. Without going into a long explanation, that seems to indicate that when it was written, it was after Saul had been appointed king of Israel. It was in the days where there was a king and everybody expected a king that somebody wrote this history and went back into time and said, now here's a time when there was no king in Israel. So if it's written at that time, at a later time, history, especially Jewish history, attributes the book of Judges to Samuel. Samuel, the prophet that appointed Saul to be the first king over Israel. That is, the writer of Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel. And probably, and again, we don't know it for sure, but probably the author of the book of Judges. Look at our next paragraph, if you would, on the notes tonight. Judges has been referred to as a record of the Dark Ages of Israel. The Dark Ages of Israel. We know the Dark Ages in world history, from about 500 A.D. to 1500 A.D., a time of darkness. Well, that's what the book of Judges is for the nation of Israel. It's a time of darkness. It's a time look at the key verse, 17:6 and 21:25. They both say almost exactly the same thing. In those days, there was no king in Israel. That's not 18:1 and 19:1 that we read already, but 17:6 and 21:25. In those days there was no king in Israel, so that's mentioned four times in the book. But every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Here's the period of Judges. Every man did that which is right in his own eyes. Now, you know what's very interesting about that phrase? It doesn't say every man did that which was wrong. But every man did that which is right in his own eyes. Whenever you get involved in the political debates of our day and time, most of the people, whichever side of the fence they're on, most of the people believe they're doing right in their own eyes. They're not purposely, at least hopefully not, and sometimes that there is a contradiction to that, but they're not purposely misrepresenting. They're not purposely doing something that's wrong. They believe that it's right. Again, one of the saddest illustrations of that, and I don't know where I saw this recently, but I think it's billboards or something with pictures of women that are celebrating their abortions, that were proud of what they did. Why are they doing that? Because they think it was wrong? No, because they think it was right. They think they made the right decision for their body, the right decision for their future. And so they're doing that which is right in their own eyes. Right in somebody's own eyes doesn't make it right, does it? And the book of Judges is a time where everybody did that what they thought was right. There was no governmental restriction. As much as we sometimes despise the restrictions of governmental law, it does keep things in order. That's why Paul wrote Romans chapter 14 and told us to respect those that have authority over us. Because when you don't have it, you're back to the book of Judges. Here's a good example about what happens when everybody does that which is right in their own eyes. Look at chapter 1 and verse 1. Here's how the book of Judges starts. The book of Judges starts. Chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, notice what they asked. Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them? Where do we start the book of Judges? We start with Israel fighting against their enemies. All right, that's a good thing. That's really not a problem. The Canaanites were in the land. They had encroached upon the land after Abraham and his ancestors got put out. Somebody else came in. They were squatters in the land. And when God let Israel back in, he said, all right, now go in there and get the Canaanites out. They don't belong. Land doesn't belong to them. Kick them out of the land. And so when they went in, they said, all right, who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them? Israel was united in fighting against their enemies. But notice what happens near the end of Judges. Look at chapter 20. And verse number 18. Judges chapter 20, verse 18. The children of Israel arose and went up to the house of God and asked counsel of God and said, here's another question at the end of the book of Joshua. Chapter 1, verse 1, they wanted to unite themselves against their enemies. Now chapter 20, verse 18, which of us shall go up first to battle against the children of Benjamin? Now they're not asking about fighting their enemies. They're asking who's going to go up first and fight the brethren. The book of Judges starts with fighting united against the enemies, and by the time we get to the end, they have gone so far down that now they're fighting against themselves, against the tribe of Benjamin, one of their own groups of people. We've come to a place in our own society where we're like that. When we have a foreign enemy, we get together and fight against them. We get united over that. Without that enemy out there, for some reason, we get squabbling and fighting among ourselves and watch the 6 o'clock news or 10 o'clock news or whenever it's on. The book of Judges is just a perfect reflection of modern society today, or modern society is a reflection of Judges. So it is a dark age period, fighting against the brethren. Notice several times in Judges, the children of Israel go through a cycle. You know what they say? Those that do not learn from history are bound to repeat history. Here's what we find, and we'll look at this a little bit more in detail. Here's what we find in the book of Judges. These five things. Rest, rebellion, retribution, repentance, restoration. So what does that mean? They start in rest. God leads them into the promised land. But they're not there very long and they start rebelling against God. They start doing what those around them are doing. And because of that, God has to rain down His judgment upon him. His hand has to be against them. Retribution. Then after God's hand is upon them, then there's repentance. They apologize to God. They say, God, I'm sorry. God, we're sorry for our sins. And then God restores them over and over and over again. More times than He ever should. God is a God of restoration. And He gives them rest all over again until they start in their rebellion and the retribution. It's just a cycle going round and round. Notice Judges chapter 2. Let's look at this. Just look at some phrases here in Judges chapter 2 that kind of, Judges 1 and 2 are a summary, and then chapters 3 on go back and tell the story. But look in Judges chapter 2, starting verse 10. After the death of Joshua, and also that generation were gathered under their fathers. So not only Joshua, but all that generation. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel. The problem is, when you do not pass on to the next generation the things of God, they're going to forget the Lord. And that's what we find in this verse. I've written this at the top of my Bible. I've got a little note. It says, the apostasy of tomorrow's generation is a direct result of the apathy of today's generation. The apostasy of tomorrow's generation is a result of the apathy of today's generation. We don't want to be too loud about our faith. We don't want to be too bold about our faith. We don't want to be too strong about our faith. And so the next generation coming along doesn't get it. And by the time you know it, that's where they're at. Now notice what it says. Here's the cycle. Verse 11. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. I underline that. Did evil in the sight of the Lord. We're going to look at this cycle. Here's what they did. They did evil in the sight of the Lord. Verse 12. They forsook the Lord God. That's what I've done. I've underlined these phrases in verse 11 and 12. Verse 11. They did evil in the sight of the Lord, verse 12. They forsook the Lord God. In the middle of verse 12, and followed other gods. And the Bible goes on to say right after that, the gods of the people that were round about them. Now we're going to come back and apply this in just a moment. The gods of the people that were round about them. Verse 13, and they forsook the Lord. Verse 14, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. We're going to see this phrase down at the bottom of our page in just a few minutes. You don't ever want the anger of the Lord to be hot against you. But it says in verse 15, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil. When the anger of the Lord was hot against them, verse 15, the hand of the Lord was evil against them. And the end of the verse, and they were greatly distressed. So here's the downhill slide. They did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forsook the Lord. They followed other gods. They forsook the Lord. The anger of the Lord was hot against them. The hand of the Lord was against them for evil. And they were greatly distressed. They're reaping for what they sowed. They're getting what they're the just deserts of their departure from God. But God's always a God of forgiveness. Notice verse 16. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges. Those three words. Raised up judges. Every time they were in bondage to the Canaanites, the Moabites, the Mesopotamians, every time they're in bondage to somebody because God sold them into that because of their rebellion against God and their forsaking of Him and their worshiping of other gods, God still had mercy on them. He raised up a judge and sent them to lead them and to guide them. But notice what it says about those judges down in verse 19. Now, verse 18, when the Lord raised up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 17 is what I missed. Yet they would not hearken unto their judges. God gave them judges, but they would not hearken unto their judges. And verse 19 in the middle, and corrupted themselves more than their fathers. Then verse 20, and the anger of the Lord was hot against them. So that's a summary of this cycle. They forsook God. They worshiped the gods of the people around them. The anger of the Lord was against them. The hand of the Lord was against them. They were distressed, and yet God sent them a judge and raised up a judge to deliver them, but they didn't heed the judges, and they corrupted themselves more than their fathers, and the hand of the Lord was against them again. That is a summary of the book of Judges. What a sad departure from Exodus. What a sad departure from Joshua, that now the children of Israel are in such a condition. This cycle plays out in the six periods of domination. That's our word. And if you look down in bold letters, it's right below it so you can spell it. Six periods of domination by other nations. What God wants to do to punish, when God wants to punish a nation, He just lets another nation overrun it. When God wants to punish a nation, He lets another nation overrun it. How many nations out there right now would like to overrun the United States of America? You can start with Mexico. You can go to all the Arab nations overseas. Russia was a big enemy in the past, and if they had the ability, they would desire to do that. And when God just gets sick and tired and fed up, He allows a nation to be delivered into the hands of another nation. And six times in the book of Judges, God does that in punishment of the sins of the people. And yet every time, 13 times, the Lord raises up someone to deliver His people. Six periods of domination, 13 deliverers. God is faithful. The 13 judges the Lord raises up to deliver His people. Now, underneath this is a lot of detail, and it took a lot of work to put together. But you'll notice in the bold, those are the different times that other nations had domination over Israel. And then the numbers, 1 through 13, are the times interspersed in there when God raised up a judge to deliver them from Israel. So when you start reading the book of Judges all the way through, here it is in chapter 3 and verse 8. Then was the anger of the Lord hot against Israel, and He sold them into the hand of Israel. Sheshan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Shushan-Rishathaim 8 years. All right, we begin the book of Judges after they've come to the promised land with the Mesopotamians ruling over them. Like the Romans do in the New Testament. Like Egypt did in Exodus. Like Babylon does in the days of Jeremiah. Someone rules over them, puts them under their thumb, under oppression, for 8 years. So what is God doing? We're not going to have time to go. So in chapter 3 and verse 9 to verse 11, God raises up Othniel. And Othniel, I believe, is, what is it, the son-in-law, Caleb, chapter 1, verse 12. Yeah. He that smiteth Kirjath-Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Asak, my daughter, to wife, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. So it's his nephew, marries Caleb's daughter. And this is Othniel. This is the first judge that God uses. And if you look at 9, verse 9 to 11, again, we're not going to take the time. He reigned for 40 years. For 40 years, he threw off the burden of the Mesopotamians and he ruled the nation of Israel. But then he died. And when he died, the children of Israel went back to the gods of the land. So they were dominated, the second bold, by the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Amalekites. And we'll not take the time, but you can read that in chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. And for the next 18 years, they were under the burden of the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Amalekites. Then, in chapter 3 and verse 15, God raised up Ehud. The thing, it's not a big deal, but the one thing that the Bible talks about Ehud, he was a man left-handed. He's the one that stuck the knife into Eglon. I think it's Ehud Eglon. I think it was Eglon. Stuck the knife in him. So that's Ehud. He reigned for 80 years, and the Bible tells us that. In chapter 3 and verse number 30. He reigned for 80 years. So now for 80 years they've got peace in the land. After him, in chapter 3 and verse 31, Shamgar begins to be the next judge. The Bible tells us he judged Israel, but it doesn't give us a time period. And it was probably a very, very short time period because nothing is mentioned about him. In fact, he's only in one verse and he's gone. After that, it tells us in chapter 4 that they were dominated by the Canaanites. You know what's interesting, and whenever you do Bible study, it's good to have a Bible atlas, a Bible map. Look at the nation of Israel and see where they're at, and then look at where Mesopotamia is. Look where the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Amalekites are. Look where the Canaanites are. And as we look at each of these groups, you know what you're going to find? Israel's encircled. Some of these are to the northwest, some are to the northeast, some are to the south, some are to the southwest. But all these groups are different ones. Israel's in the middle of it, and every time they turned away from God, God brought a different enemy from a different direction to rule over them. And yet they still didn't get it right. They still didn't get things straightened out. So God raised up in chapter 4, verse 4, over to chapter all through chapter 5, He raised up Deborah or Deborah. As they tell us, it's pronounced in Hebrew, Deborah. But he raises up, this is the only female judge out of the 13 in the nation of Israel. And she, along with her general Barak, deliver the people of Israel from the Canaanites. And she reigned 40 years. You'll notice I've got a little question mark after that because the Bible text does not give us a time. It's other than Shamgar, it's the only one that it doesn't tell us how long she reigned. Nothing in the biblical text. Historians tell us she reigned for 40 years. So I put the 40 there with a question mark. All the others come from the Bible text, but this one, it doesn't tell us how long Deborah reigned. But the Canaanites ruled over them for 20 years, and then Deborah reigned for 40 years. Then there was domination by the Midianites. So God raised up Gideon. You remember him? The guy with the fleece. The guy that was hiding by the wine press, and the Lord came and called him a courageous man as he was hiding. I like how the Lord does that. Chapter 6 to chapter 8, Gideon reigns for 40 years. Then in chapter 9, his illegitimate son Abimelech, and the Bible is such an interesting book to read. Abimelech reigns for 3 years. Abimelech is never officially called a judge. So some of the commentators, when they say there's judges, they'll say there's 12 in the book of Judges. They'll leave him out because though he reigned for 3 years, it never says he judged Israel. But he did take that position for 3 years. After him in chapter 10 was Tola for 23 years, and then Jer for 22 years. And isn't it amazing? Tola is in chapter 10, verse 1 and 2, two verses. He reigned 23 years, but nothing is said about him. Jer, verse 3 to 5, 22 years. After them, there was domination by the Philistines and the Ammonites. God brought in a different group. Because Israel, after their prosperity, after the judge delivered them, the nation of Israel turned their backs against the judges, turned their backs against God, and the hand of God was against them again. He brought in the Philistines and the Ammonites that lasted for 18 years, according to chapter 10, verse 7 and 8. Then God raised up Jephthah. You remember Jephthah, the judge who told God, God, I'll go out to battle if you'll deliver him in my hand, and the first thing that comes into my house after the battle, I'll sacrifice it to God. He was thinking, one of the chickens, one of the oxen, what's going to come in? And the first thing that came in was his unmarried daughter. And Jephthah made the very unwise decision of thinking that was going to please God. And he sacrificed his own daughter. It wasn't the will of God. God didn't want him to do it. It was a stupid thing. But that's Jephthah. But he reigned for 6 years. And Ibzan, my language teacher over in the Micronesian Islands, was named after this fellow. He spelled it with an H, H-I-B-S-O-N, Ibzan, but he was named after this guy. He reigned for 7 years. Then Elon reigned for 10 years. Then Abdon reigned for 8 years. You know some of these period of times, of course, Ehud for 80 years, that's a great one. But the time between the Midianites and the Philistines and Ammonites was 40 years and 3 and 23 and 22. That's a long time of peace. That's a long time of comfort. That's a long time of godly instruction and leadership. And yet, the minute they were dead, the children of Israel went back into their idolatry. After the gods of the lands. So after Abdon, then the Philistines take over again. Chapter 13 and verse 1. And that rule lasts for 40 years. Until God raises up a fellow we all know by the name of Samson. Chapter 13 and verse 24 down through chapter 16. And Samson reigned for 20 years. It's interesting that the Bible gives us these numbers. I said at the top of the page that it covers a 400-year period. And if you add on the left side, reign 40 years, 80 years, 40 years, 43, 23, 22, you get 111 years. Or excuse me, 299 years of the reign of the judges. Then if you add on the far right side, the 8, the 18, 27, 18, and 40, you get 111 years. So that's 410 years of history in the book of Judges. That's a long period of Israel's life where they're just on a spiritual roller coaster. Right with God, away from God. Rebellion, retribution, just going right through the whole thing. What a way to live. That's not the way God wants people to live. God doesn't want people to live on this spiritual roller coaster up and down, in fellowship, out of fellowship, questioning God, trusting God. We're supposed to, you know, have an even keel. Now, it'd be great to be on the mountaintop, but very few of us are always on the mountaintop. But at least when you're on the mountaintop, when you fall, go down a couple steps, not all the way down to the valley. And in the book of Judges, that's what we read, the nation of Israel, just going from the top to the very bottom, to the very dregs. Some key words and phrases in Judges, and again, this goes along with what we're studying. Here are words that appear in Judges more than they do in other books of the Bible, and it kind of fits in the scenario of what we're looking at. The phrase, drive out, appears 9 times in the book of Judges. They were told to drive out the inhabitants of the land. God didn't give them any options. God just said, when you get in there, drive them out. But look, if you would, at chapter 1 and see this phrase, drive out. It's used mostly in the negative. Chapter 1 and verse 21, and the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusite that inhabited Jerusalem. Did not drive out. Here's their problem. Here's why they went into idolatry. They didn't drive it out. They tolerated. There's our big key word for our modern day. They tolerated it. God said, don't put up with it. Drive it out. But they didn't drive them out. Notice in verse number 29, or verse 27. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshean and her towns. Verse 29. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites. Verse 30. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron. Verse 31, neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Aco. Verse 33, neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth-Shemesh. So there's the problem all through it. They didn't drive them out. They didn't drive them out. They didn't drive them out. Feeling sorry for them, whatever excuse you want to give, God said drive them out, and they didn't drive them out. The word evil appears 14 times in the book of Judges. And the reason that's noteworthy is because that's a lot of times in one book. If you look out of a concordance, the word evil, how many times it's in different books of the Bible, 14 times in one book is a lot. And the two words did evil, right after that, did evil is 7 times. That's their problem. They didn't drive them out, and they did evil. They did evil. The influence of the people they were supposed to drive out influenced them to do evil. What does the Bible tell you and I in 1 Corinthians? Remember the 7th book of the New? Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Why? Because if we don't, we'll behave like them. If we don't separate from evil, we will do evil. And so here he tells them, drive them out, but they did evil. The phrase, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. It's not a lot of times, it's only 4. But that's more than any other place in the Bible. It appears 4 times. The anger of the Lord was hot against... You say, that's not many times. Well, how many times would you want the anger of the Lord to be hot against you? I'd say 1 time's too many. And God says it about them 4 different times in this cycle in the book of Judges. The words judge or judged appear 18 times. This is more than any other book in the Bible. That's what... It's the book of Judges. And they judged them. God raised up judges for them. The words deliver or delivered appear 45 times. God delivered them. I will deliver you. God delivered. Thank God for the mercy of God. We look at judges and say we don't want to be like them. We don't want to be like the children of Israel. And that's right. But sometimes in our flesh, we sadly end up imitating that which we don't want to be. And the good news from that, it's not good to do it, but good news is that every time we do, God delivers. God still comes around. God still helps out. 45 times. And then the last phrase here, the angel of the Lord appears 19 times. That's more than any other book in the Bible. The angel of the Lord. About half of those are with the story of Samson and the angel of the Lord appearing to Manoah and his wife. But it also appeared to Gideon and to the others to lead Israel, to help those judges, the angel of the Lord. And if we understand it right, the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament is the Lord Jesus Christ of the New Testament. That's the image of God in the Old Testament. The angel of the Lord appears 19 times to rescue them, to help them. Don't depend on the rescue of God. Well, if I make a mistake and if I get into this thing and I go too far, God will still show grace. You know, there's a false teaching about the doctrine of grace. I'm thankful for grace. But the teaching today that's popular among the television evangelists and all this stuff is it doesn't matter how you live because God's got grace. So they take advantage of that grace. God said, should I live in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. So we don't just depend on the grace of God, but we're thankful when we fail, humanly speaking, and He comes around. All right, finally tonight in the book of Judges, here's an overview of the entire 21 chapters. Chapters 1 and 2 talk about disobedience. That's the theme of chapters 1 and 2, disobedience. And that's about living among or living with the heathen. They did not drive them out. They lived with the Jebusites. They lived with the inhabitants of Aco. They lived with the Canaanites. They didn't drive them out. They coexisted with them in a land where they were told to drive them out. Their disobedience, living with the heathen. Number 2, chapters 3 to 16, the bulk of the chapter, the bulk of the book, is discipline. Discipline. The hand of the Lord was hot against them. The anger of the Lord was against them. You know the best way to treat disobedience? With discipline. I know that's a novel idea in our modern society. But the way to treat disobedience is with discipline. Not with reasoning. I always find it so humorous when a 20, 30-year-old person is reasoning with a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old. You know what you've got to do? You've got to really bring yourself down to a mentality to reason with someone that age. You don't reason with them. You teach them. You lead them. You instruct them. But with disobedience, there's discipline. And that is at war with the heathen, chapters 3 to 16. And that's most of that cycle we looked at from chapter 3 all the way to chapter 16 with Samson. That whole cycle of these 9 or 6 periods of dominion and the 13 judges is all that discipline of God from the nation of Israel being at odds with him. Then finally, the last chapter, 17 to 21, is about disorder. The result of their disobedience is disorder. Living like the heathen. Living like the heathen. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When you and I got saved, we got sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. We were made a new creation, a new creature in Christ. Now we can live differently. We're not to live like the world any longer. We're not to be like the world, to speak like the world, to act like the world. We're to be different. But the children of Israel, after living with them, began living like them. And in chapter 17 to 19, we read about the idolatry of Dan. The idolatry of Dan, a fellow named Micah, that becomes a priest to the tribes of Dan. Again, Dan is one of the tribes of Israel. They're the first ones to go into idolatry. And it's interesting, if you've been with us of our study of the book of Revelation, when the 12 tribes are protected during the tribulation period in the book of Revelation, when the 12 tribes are protected and 12,000 of each of the 12 tribes are sealed and protected in the tribulation, the tribe of Dan is not one of them. We studied that when we went through the book of Revelation. God does not protect Dan in the tribulation because of their idolatry. They still get an inheritance at the end of the book of Revelation in the millennium. They still get, but they don't get protected in the tribulation because of their idolatry. So chapter 17 to 19 is the idolatry of Dan. Then chapter 20 and 21 is the immorality of Benjamin. The immorality. The marriages with the heathen. Losing their language, losing their heritage by marrying outside of the children of Israel. Marrying the heathen whom God said, drive out, don't worship their gods. Benjamin did. And the last two chapters in Judges are about the immorality of Benjamin. So this is a summary, a synopsis, a survey of the book of Judges. Let's all stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.